everybody. And yes, for the first meeting where I'm in the chair. So I do just want to start off by saying that the way we will operate the evenings is that we will move and second a motion before debate and questions. We'll allow the mover and seconder to speak, call for anyone against the motion to speak, and alternate between speakers for and against. If you do have questions, please state that you're asking a question and then state what the question is. Do not enter into debate. Thank you. So welcome, everybody.
Just a question on that, Madam Deputy Mayor.
Yes, Councillor Hull.
I've always been troubled by the practice of the current Mayor in terms of members closing the debate after there's been an amendment, where it's already obvious that your motion has either been approved or condemned by this council, and you can end up closing the debate after we've already made it clear which way we're going to vote. That, I struggle with that. It wasn't the practice of the previous council, so I'd just like to know what your view is of that predicament that happens.
And I am aware that we've had a few evenings where there's been a predicament. So we'll work through that at the time with governance advice, but we do want to try and streamline things with that.
The amendment becomes the motion, and then the person closing the debate is actually not speaking to the motion.
Your point, Councillor Hull, is taken, and I believe it's a valid point, and we'll take that as how we're going to look at running the meetings. Thank you. Okay, so just starting tonight then, we acknowledge the Kaurna people, the traditional custodians of this land, and pay our respects to their elders past and present. I would also like to acknowledge that today is the 10th anniversary of the National Apology to the Stolen Generations. It was on the 13th of February 2008 that Prime Minister Kevin Rudd made that formal apology to Australia's Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people. And he spoke for all Australians when he recognised the stolen generations whose lives have been traumatised by past government policies of forced child removal and assimilation to post-European settled Australia. As a mark of respect today, the City of Marion has been flying flags at half-mast for the Australian Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people. And I am proud to say that us as a council here at Marion, we've got our Reconciliation Action Plan now firmly embedded across our organisation. And I do believe that the plan supports meaningful, significant and tangible actions that us as an organisation can achieve to promote that reconciliation with Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people. So thank you for indulging me on that, because I think that's important to recognise today.
Mayor, if I may, yes. At the breakfast that some of us attended only yesterday, it was interesting that the opening speaker made the point of acknowledging the help that they received in the movement to change the date of Australia Day. She thanked those actors from Australia and those living overseas, and also councils for having the temerity to actually stand up and say that we have the wrong day. So I just thought, I thought we went close to getting a mention, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Hull. Yes, it was a great morning. Just need to announce that all persons in attendance are advised that the audio of this General Council meeting will be recorded and will be made available on the City of Marion website. Have any members got any declaration of interest for tonight? No, we will move on. So, moving to the first item, confirmation of the minutes of the last meeting, please. Moved by Councillor Telfer, seconded by Councillor Crossland. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Okay, moving on. No communications, no adjourned items, no deputations or petitions. Committee recommendations. Then we have the confirmation of the minutes from the Review and Selection Committee meeting held on the 30th of January. So can I have someone to move those minutes? Councillor Crossland, seconder. Councillor Appleby, all those in agreeance? Carried unanimously, thank you. And we've got the 30th of January too. We should have moved them together. So that's the confidential minutes of the Review and Selection Committee meeting held on the 30th of January. Someone to move those? Sorry, Councillor Appleby, seconder. Councillor Crossland. Thank you. And, right. So if someone to move into confidence, please. Councillor Crossland. Sorry? Sorry. Thank you for bringing that to my attention. Sorry, moving back to the previous one. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Sorry, moving on to the next one. So we're moving into confidence now for this particular item. Councillor Crossland, seconded Councillor Telfer. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. We'll ask everyone to move out, please. Thank you, everybody. That was a nice quick one. Okay, moving on to the item on page 26, the energy efficiency and solar energy on council-owned leased facilities. We have some questions first, or are you moving the motion? Moved by Councillor Crossland. So wait a minute, we'll get a seconder first and then we'll move into the questions and comments. Oh, okay, fine. Do we have a seconder for that motion? So it's looking at adopting methodology B and deleting the paragraph 4. Just a minute, Councillor Hull. So we were going to try and see if we could have mover and seconder first and then go into question time.
But in order to know whether I should second or not, I'd just like to ask a question.
Yes.
What is the significance of deleting point 4 of the original recommendation?
Okay, we'll ask Councillor Crossland to again state, because you didn't have your microphone on before.
Yeah, sorry. The reason for that is point 4 really, all it does is highlights that we passed a motion to get some work done and they still haven't done it, even though it's a year old. It doesn't really need highlighting that we agreed to put solar panels on the roofs of those buildings and haven't done it yet. It's just an irrelevant statement. It's in the report anyway.
Thank you, Councillor Crossland. I'll just confirm with the with staff. So, point 4, we actually do have a previous motion to that effect that is being done. Has anyone told me about that? So, therefore, it is irrelevant to have that point there in the new motion. Does that answer your question, Councillor Hull?
I think so.
Thank you. Councillor Pryor?
Yeah, I just have a question as well. It's maybe for the CEO.
Can I hold the procedure just there again? Because we want to get the seconder before we go into more questions.
It depends on the answer as to whether I second the motion or not.
Well, Councillor Telfer is seconding.
Okay.
So we'll then allow the mover to talk and then the seconder, and then we'll go to questions and then on to debate.
Okay, I'll only be brief. Look, this is an ongoing program of ours to try and introduce solar energy to our buildings, which council has previously reported and supported, and we'd like to see those benefits to other community groups. The reason I've adopted methodology B is this gives us a little bit of quality assurance about what we're actually going to install, possibility of savings, but also generally some oversight to the work that's being carried out. So at least we can ensure that we get the very best solar energy out of what's proposed.
I support this effort by the community to be involved with us, partner with us to get these solar cells up. I look forward to expressions of interest from relevant parties, and I like the fact that there's a responsibility of council once priority facilities are determined, because after all they are our premises leased to other parties, and we're working in partnership with them.
Now we'll go to questions. Councillor Pryor, then Councillor Velescu.
Yeah, I go back to my question for the CEO, and it's there's a couple of parts to it. The first one is, are we resourced adequately to do this sort of thing? Is that not going to create a burden on us at all?
We're stretched in this area, but I've been advised that we have the ability to actually do this because it's a pretty exciting project that we will resource.
Okay, and the second part of the question is a bit more... bit more difficult, I think. Where does the risk lie for council in this area? I mean, if a tenant goes out and sources a solar array which has problems, then it's their issues. But where if the tenant comes to us and we've sourced the solar array and then there's problems, how are we going to deal with that in the future if it occurs?
I'm no expert through the chair on this, but certainly I'm of the view, and I've been briefed, that the installation of solar panels is a risk when you do it, and if we can actually control the installation of panels and bundle that the works that we're doing, the risk of installation and so the effectiveness of the panels is going to be reduced by taking this option B. I pass to Ms. Dixon, though she may have an understanding of other risks that I'm not aware of.
Through the chair, as raised by Councillor Croslin, I think if council has greater control over the procurement and selection process, that helps mitigate in terms of any risks associated with low quality. We would build into any procurement the requirement for a warranty of works and equipment as well, so there'd be an assessment of that as well.
Thanks, Cos.
Councillor Velescu, then West Woodengard.
A couple of questions. First of all, what size systems are we looking at in our buildings? Do we have a bit of a breakdown? Otherwise, would a annual electricity price give us a bit of an idea as to the size of the systems we are needing? And I ask that because the work involved on our end, I'm just concerned whether that is worth us doing based on the possibly low needs of the community.
Through the chair, we wouldn't be able to answer that tonight. That would be part of the assessment process unless staff have any further information they can add to the discussion.
Through the chair, when we started off on this journey, we did an assessment of energy usages in site, and we worked with a consultant who actually is an expert in this area. So he guided us on system sizes and using the electricity use of the sites.
I wanted to know roughly what they were. I just want to get an idea of the
no,
size
I'd have
of
to
the
take
systems.
That on notice. I couldn't quote system size, but I can certainly provide you with that information. I think it was in some previous reports we have put up to council, so I can get those and forward them to you.
Councillor Westwood.
Just a little bit of clarification first. I think in this B option, we're trying to recover some of the cost or contribution from the lessee. Is that right? Is that right? Or?
Both options, through the chair, both options propose a partnership arrangement. It's just the way in which we liaise with clubs.
That's fine. So if I may, that was just clarification from a question. What kind of percentage or how are you going to, what are you going to base that contribution on? You're going to ask them for half of their savings, or is it going to be based on that at all? And if not, that's the kind of basis I would suggest. But I'll be interested to hear your answer. Thank you.
Through the chair, at the workshop on the 23rd of January, the consensus from the members appeared to be about 50%. So that's what we would be working on. And it is in the resolution as well.
Thank you. I didn't see.
Councillor Gard now.
Thank you, Worship. I'm just interested to know, having regard for economies of scale and savings that we stand to make. I know from the matrix we saw recently that there's a big savings in this building particularly, potentially. Is it likely that there'll be a preference for the order of play when a contractor is selected? Would that be part of a tender to recommend the order of play? Because there's substantial work, obviously, but the order may help with the returns if we get it right. And it may not be right to assume necessarily that the biggest comes first, but it probably would be. So through the chair, if I may ask that.
Through the chair, at the forum we discussed potential processes. So the feedback and what members considered was that we would put it out for 3 months and encourage clubs and work with clubs to apply. So we would look at those clubs. So it'll be difficult until we know the response rate, but I'd imagine, I don't think we'll be overwhelmed by it, to be honest, and I think we would go out to tender with all of them. But when we come back to council after the expression of interest, we could put options in there for you to consider and take that on board.
Councillor Hull.
In regards to the issue of quality assurance in the council buildings, is there a potential, like, I'm a great believer that information provided to us should advise us what the benefits are and the consequences, if there are any. And I hear that we won't have any control over the quality of the not only the panels but the installation, which is probably with this option. We will. We've got full control over this. All right. So this is why I'm asking the question, just to be clear. So the other thing is, will we actually, by having that ability to prescribe the type and installation, Will there be potential for us in terms of the amount of work that we might seek from a certain supplier to get a cost-effective outcome? In other words, the benefits of the scale of purchase and particularly if the G5, is it still G5 or is it G7 now, whether they could be involved.
Through the chair, that is the benefit of option B, is that we would put it out to tender. So you would bundle up all the requirements. So we would expect to get a very competitive price in doing that way, and consistency, and it also enables us to manage the quality.
Last one. In terms of partnerships, and I only had this discussion today with the CEO about innovation and partnerships, particularly with companies within Marion. Is there scope for such a partnership that we might be able to trial products and use our buildings as opportunities to test products? And obviously the installation will have to be to a standard, but is there a chance we can use our buildings as points of innovation with solar panels, given what's happening at Tonsley?
Through the chair, we did talk about it today. There's some wonderful providers of high technology, innovative infrastructure in Tonsley area. Zen Energy is there, and they're certainly interested in teaming with us for the business upgrade finance opportunities for businesses. And so we anticipate that there will be some wonderful economies of scale and some innovation, especially with the storage opportunities that come from Zen. And more than that, I think there's opportunities there to work with companies like Sage, who've got some quite incredible and mind-blowing innovations in doing things very, very smart going forward. So, yes, and it's on our agenda and we're looking at it closely.
Councillor Westwood.
I can't see any reference in the motion regarding limiting the contribution from a lessee to 50%. That's what I believe the manager mentioned just now, but is that there? If not, I'd like to move.
Councillor Westwood, it's the first point of the motion.
It's not 50% of contribution from their it's not 50% of their savings. It's adopts a proposed approach to fund up to 50% of the purchase and installation cost of etc. So, but I want it to be limited, the contribution from, I'd suggest that the contribution from lessees should be limited to 50% of their savings, because we don't want to make them work just as hard for their finances as they did before. We want to have give them some kind of advantage, I would think. So if necessary, I'll move an amendment.
Through the chair, there's a few things council might want to consider if it's thinking of going down that line. Is at this point we can only estimate the savings in energy costs, so there's no certainty around the costs, and we may find that the club would be in a worse off position with that, so we couldn't guarantee that. The model that's presented is a clear one, where there's a 50-50 contribution to the upfront capital costs, and then the tenants then benefit from the energy savings of the solar panels.
Sorry, can I just clarification? They couldn't be worse off if their contribution, the lessee's contribution, was limited to 50% of their savings. If we have a blanket 50% contribution of the cost of the system, then they could be worse off, because that's a fixed cost. So I would suggest that their contribution, and I mean per annum, because it may mean that whatever loan or they have to get, whatever, has to go for longer, but they should get benefit of, say, of being asked for no more than 50% of their savings to contribute towards the installation or the paying off of this system. That's what I'm trying to get at. I hope that's clear.
Do you want to try?
Through the chair, if I might add here that the attraction for the clubs to actually invest their money in the purchase of the solar is the savings that they will get once the solar panels are installed. To actually get an anticipation of how much they're going to save is going to be quite difficult, but the attractor for the clubs is to get the savings on their electricity bills after the event. And so I think the member is asking, can we actually charge them 50% of the savings they'll get? That's very difficult, but we're asking them to put 50% of the upfront cost to install, and then they'll benefit from the savings. I hope I'm making sense.
Thank you.
May I just clarify there?
No, sorry. You've had your questions. What we'll do is we'll test the waters with this motion. If it doesn't get up, then you can move an amendment.
Councillor Westwood. My only concern about option B is the work involved and the potential uptake. So first of all, I see the advantages. It would work well if all of the clubs were happy to do it in that time, all at once. And there's a reasonable amount, because we're going to go through a tender process. That's resources involved with it. otherwise the economy of scale savings is going to be low. They need to be ready to take advantage of it, and they basically need to support this method. So we need to point out...
Councillor Bolescu, what's your question, or are you in debate?
Speaking. Yeah, speaking. Well, I...
You're speaking... Because we were still on questions, so if you're speaking with the motion, we're looking for someone speaking against.
I'll speak against, because I'm just as a warning, I guess. So clubs need to be able to see the advantage of it, because they may say, well, I can get a 3-kilowatt system for $3,000, and Marion Council wants me to do this one from Zen Energy, for example, and it's $5,000, and you know, they're giving us the money, but it's going to be very limited. So we have to be aware of what that will do, because we're being generous, but they may not see it that way if we're making them do it in a certain way. Also, going on what Councillor Westwood is talking about, I guess if it's pointed out to the clubs that if they do wish to take out some sort of loan, and whether we are open to it, whether there could be the capacity to pay that loan, either from us or somebody else, can be those potential savings. But as the CEO said, nothing is guaranteed. Otherwise, if those things don't fall into place, I do think that option A might be better, especially for such low-scale items. As long as there's decent guidance in regards to quality of what we'd expect, I think option A is an easier thing to use, and I know it's a similar option to what was used by the Parcom Community Centre when they installed panels on the building for us.
Someone speaking for? Councillor Hull.
Thank you, Madam Deputy Mayor. Look, when I asked the question before, I wanted to be sure I was on the right track, and it sounds like we are with this recommendation. Look, I've already asked the question also about the scales of economy going through a contract and a tender process. So the administration say yes, that we probably could get them cheaper. There's opportunities for with those relationships with innovation and test sites. What worries me is that if we're actually going to allow clubs to actually buy solar panels online, or I don't know, from the back of a van somewhere, like how are we actually going to keep control over quality? Because you know, if it's driven by the dollar, well, we can afford these, but we can't afford the Zen ones because they're more expensive. Well, there's probably good reason for that, and I just think that we need to keep an eye on it. The other thing is that if it's not installed properly, those things can actually set fire to our building. I just think it's a fiduciary responsibility to make sure that we actually control this. And I just think that this motion does that. Look, it's a wrestle as to the fairness of this in terms of the tenants, the clubs. But I think this is actually around about the mark. To actually fund it completely is probably not the way to go. So 50% is fair, but they'll actually reap the benefits. They'll reap the benefits of getting cheaper energy straight away. Or there'll be a payback period for their contribution. But think about it, 50%, it'll be 2.5 years. 2.5 years for that club, and then suddenly they're getting free energy while the sun shines. Okay. So I just think that we need to keep control of it, reap the benefits of the relationships with the suppliers, hopefully local businesses. That's the other thing. If they're going to be buying these panels, they could be coming from anywhere. You know with yourself that there are solar operators from interstate employing local contractors, and they're all coming. It's not local money. It's going somewhere else. So I think there's a lot to be said for this motion, and I'll be supporting it.
Thank you, Councillor Hull. Ms Dixon, you had something to add? No. Okay. Against?
Just a question, thanks.
Question?
Last question. It's a question for Mr Mifsud. If a member of our community with a club or with one of our lessees decided that they wanted to go and get their own solar panels, would they still be eligible for our CFPP if they provided half?
Through the chair, yes, in principle, that's still providing half,
which probably alleviates all of the concerns of the people who are against this methodology, I'd say.
Thank you. Anyone else speaking against? No? Well, we'll go to Councillor Crossland for closing.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. In summary, I hear what people have said, but really option B is to work with the community to help them access these panels. So the main difference being is that we are authorising our staff to help all our community clubs to maybe look at solar, work them through the process, work them through the funding options, and then actually getting the panels delivered and fitted. So pretty much those people don't have to do anything but find the other 50%, whereas the other method leaves everything up to them, the installation, the sourcing, ensuring that they're getting good panels, good deals. So for me, it's a win-win for our community clubs. We're taking some of that pressure away from them. It's a win for the council because we might get a discount by bulk buying. We can also ensure that those systems are fitted correctly. And as Councillor Hall said, we certainly don't want shonky installations that are going to burn down our facilities because we're going to be the people that people turn to fix them up. So I commend this motion to you as is for those reasons.
All those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried. Moving on to page 31, the Warradale Kindergarten landlord approval. So you're moving?
Happy to move that way.
Moving by Councillor Hull, seconded Councillor Pryor.
I no longer have any children there, so I can actually do this now. So.
Okay, you can talk to the motion. Thanks, Councillor Hull.
Oh, I'd say move.
Councillor Pryor, anything? Right. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Marion Outdoor Pool Upgrade on page 35. Okay, so, Councillor Valiscu.
Thank you, Your Worship. I move the motion as is that we fund all three parts in this year, the next year and the year after, all three stages. Swimming is one of the, this asset is the largest and most used recreational asset with 75,000 users. During the season, there's about 2,500 to 3,000 on average a week. This year, we're scheduled to possibly have up to 10,000 more. And it seems to be on track due to the changes in what we're offering. Swimming is a key recreational activity for student and adults. It's a sort of activity that's more common than organised sport. As far as organised sport, swimming is 18.7%, the highest participation rate, as opposed to football, which is 14.2%, and that's the next one. The community feedback we have received ongoing and quite recently is that the community wants us to keep it and improve it. For 42 years, little has been done, with a few updates just recently. Without an update, because other facilities of similar age and similar offering throughout the metropolitan area have had updates, we do lose potential customers. The master plan that came to us originally has been scaled down from 11.6 million to just under a third of that. So we have actually scaled down what the community expected. I think that's a good balance between responsible scrutiny and community expectations. This is detailed and current costings are ready to proceed. There is no impact on a draft budget rate rise of CPI. There is no impact on ongoing rate rise assumptions for CPI. There is no borrowing required. All stages are funded through current reserves, including possible foreseen expenses and other things that might be funded, including other upgrades we're looking at and LED replacement. as well as having the $2 million buffer zone that we need to have for any infrastructure failure, there will be $4.48 million in our asset reserves there, and that doesn't include 1.2 Open Space Reserve Fund. There's plenty of other money for other projects and other partnerships that we may look at. Also, in the email that Mr. Barnwell sent, there would be it would be affordable for the ongoing renewal. Now, the stages need to be in this way, because this year, if we don't do stage one, we lose Fund My Neighbourhood. If we do stage two now, there won't be a delay, otherwise it'll be a two-year delay because of the process of procurement and design, and there'll be an extra cost. Stage three is where we want to get. We want to have an accessible facility, we want to have the offering, we want to have DDA compliance as soon as possible. Any delay in that will mean that we'll have less customers, but also less opportunity for revenue. And so that, I believe, will be another double negative. That's why I'm recommending to members to support it as is. Thank you.
Time's up. Thank you. That was seconded by Councillor Pfeiffer.
Thank you, Your Worship. Look, Councillor Valescu is absolutely correct, and I'm enthusiastic about seconding this one tonight. It is one of our most used assets. 75,000 people a year go there. I can't think of any other assets that we have that get that sort of visitation. It's an incredible visitation. Look, we've had a member around this chamber before say about this site that the only thing that's changed there is the councillor's photos in the last 40-odd years. And you know what? It's probably not that far off the mark. Last year when I was there, I saw a degraded asset, an asset that was so well used, but degraded. We had a bloody showerhead, using an old showerhead for the fountain, for crying out loud. Like, we need to actually put some money into the resources and into the assets that are getting used and getting used well by the community. I've been sitting around this table for 7.5 years, and in that time we've done so many bloody studies. Prior to that, prior to my time, this has been on the cards for years and years and years. Councillor Valescu remember it from years back. Councillor Hull, Councillor Telfer, this has been on the books for a long, long time. We need to actually get on with it and get something done here. I'm sick of seeing studies, and I'm sick of seeing studies after studies that recommend this and recommend that. We've got to the point where in May last year, we pushed something great through the Infrastructure Committee. Now, the Infrastructure Committee at that time, as you'd remember, Your Worship, you were chairing it, the Infrastructure Committee at that time did actually take a fine-tooth comb over it, and we stripped out, I think it was the car park at that time, and said, no, that part's not necessary right now. Then it came to council a couple of weeks later, and out of the scope when it came to council, we said, you know what, we don't really need to do the CCTV now, we don't need to do the bus park now. So we've pulled it down to a really, really manageable package of $3.5 million minus, or you take away the 150 that's coming from the state. It is a great facility, and I don't know if other members, I get down there a couple of times a year, I don't know if other members use it. If you don't, pull the budgie smugglers on and get down there on Saturday, because honestly, it's sensational during summer. It's really good. The slides are out of this world. They're so good. It's having so much good fun. Indeed, you would frighten the crowds, I have no doubt. Look, I haven't dragged this one out for a while, but around this chamber I have had the saying in the past to do it right the first time. Now, we've been messing around with this one for years, so let's get on with it. Let's get in there. Let's get this done and get it done for a community that desperately needs and desperately uses the facility. Thank you.
Anyone speaking against? Councillor Cross?
Question, please.
Yep.
Two questions. The first one is, we're in the process of doing the Hallett Cove foreshore. We've also done stages for the Oaklands estate. All in stages, all coming separately. I think the Hallett Cove foreshore's still got a stage to go, design fund. I'm now hearing that that's the wrong way we've been doing it. We should have actually been designing it in one go and funding it in one go. What's changed? Why is this one being done differently, and why is the cost going to go up if we don't stage it in a similar way to...
Through the Chair, I mean, tonight's report leaves it's up to Council to choose whether it wants to fund it in the stages outlined in the report or not. The resolution passed was to go away and to do the detailed costings for all of the stage of work, so that is what is presented this evening. In presenting that, we also are informing Council, should should any stage one works be done and stage two and three are delayed? Well, there are considerations around escalation of costs, which would be for any project that was staged over a period of time, whether it's 3 years or 5 years. So it's really a decision up to council in the delivery.
Can you give me an idea of how much additional cost we've had to pay on the previous two developments then, Oaklands and Hyde Cove, by doing it the way we've done it?
Through the chair, just before I answer that one, the other consideration which is outlined in the report is we're trying to undertake the works during the off-season to minimise any disruptions to the season and any disruption, decrease in revenue. I'd have to go back to the reports for those other projects such as Oaklands and Heron Way, but my understanding is the costings were presented to council over a period, I think, a five-year period, and I would assume, but I would need to double-check, that the costings had an escalation built into them, which would be CPI.
And last question. So the way this motion is worded, if by next year we do a budget review and decide not to proceed because of other priorities, is there a hold point in this? Because it doesn't seem to be worded like the other motions, that they're subject to...
Through your chair, there could be hold points in that. So the main thing is, should council put funds into stage two works? What that allows, so that would go into next year's budget. That would allow council to do the design work and then deliver in the off season. So, should council choose at the end of that to delay it, it just pushes that stage three further out.
Yeah, sorry, can I ask that to Vinnie just to confirm? So if we agree to this motion as worded, is it going to come back to council to progress it with the budget review process, or if we decide not to fund it at the budget review, is it then put on hold again?
So through the chair, effectively, if you endorse this as it's presented now, you would be putting, remembering we're still early days for the current budget process, so you'd be putting forward the first year's funding into the draft budget for further consideration, and you'd be putting stage two and stage three into the long-term plan, which would come back to council every year as a matter of course. So council does get to revisit that every single year as part of the budget process. So does that clarify the...
Yeah, that answers the question. Thank you.
That's all your questions, Councillor Crossland. Were you talking against it or just had questions? Question from Councillor Hull.
Could it be, after what I just heard, that in terms of the staging of the project, given the seasonal demands, is this the best way to go for practical reasons? So it's not just money, it's actually practicalities of getting stuff done before seasons open and close. And okay. Right. Thank you.
Anyone speaking against? Then we'll allow Councillor Velescu to close.
I guess my concern is we've seen other projects that have had stages stopped when it is a whole package, and this is a whole package. What are the safeguards that we don't stop partway through? Because I think that this is the whole package, this is the vision. The last stage is where you want to get to. And if people have other ideas about other items, they can happen as well as this. I don't see that. So I guess, what are the considerations with that? And I guess safeguards, because we're... it's like the Express Bay being one way.
Through the chair, so the works that are proposed to council tonight do seek to get the best outcomes for the facility and for the community, and there's a logic to the staging of works that they inform and improve the facility leading up to the final bit where you've got the full water play and splash pad. So I suppose if council put a hold point and didn't then do stage three, you're not going to get the biggest return, you're not going to have the pathways going through the site to, you know, maximise access to the shade, barbecues, all the different facilities. So the staging has considered that, what's the best outcome in terms of costs. You know, the longer gaps that you have between staging, the more expensive the works are, because you've got the escalation as well and you prolong the return on the investment as well. But as Mr. Mifflin said, if should council want to, you know, have hold points to consider, you could do that, but it will come with, you know, costs in not delivering it in the shorter time period.
Generally with project, is there a way we can do it better? Because I can understand the frustration that other elected members may have when it seems like that there should have been something done and organised and paid for to completion, or at least budgeted for to completion. So I guess what can we do in that respect? Because I don't want to be in that situation for anything else if I am involved in council. I don't want anyone else to either.
I'll ask you to finish closing at this stage, Councillor Velescu, because I think we all know that when a new council comes in, there's no guarantees of changes. So I think we've got to move on.
That wasn't the question, Your Worship. The question was more about the processes that the administration will take to ensure that if we do have a project that's staged, that perhaps there is that those stages are... the options are put forward to be fully funded at once, as opposed to revisiting it all the time and frustrating the community and elected members.
Through the Chair, we can certainly put that approach into our planning of future projects and have you know, the whole works tabled for Council's consideration and put through into the long-term financial plan beyond the immediate budget.
Through the Chair, I think Councillor Vesco is asking if there can be a guarantee that this project will be delivered to the end. And because it's actually being put into a long-term financial plan for a new council to consider, there's always a risk that that new council will not accept that project and go with something else. So the way this is being put forward is there is a risk that the new council won't follow it through.
Is it pertinent, or can we move on to closing?
The touch by Olivia is now under construction. There's going to be a focus on disabled access. Now, Councillor Velescu mentioned DDA requirements. I just wonder, in the scheduling of this, whether we have anticipated the heightened interest in this pool for disabled kids, given it's right next door, particularly with the splash pad and everything else, really. Will this motion deliver the DDA requirements to actually complement the heightened increase in disabled people going to this pool?
Through the Chair, yes, it has been taken into consideration. Besides pathways, we also have barbecues that are a correct height for people with disabilities. Just looking for Tyson might be able to tell me some of the other components that are going into this facility, especially that will cater not only for people with disabilities but also families, because we have a lot of families go there, need to, you know, their young ones are in a pusher, they want to go to the barbecue area or go and watch perhaps an older sibling on the slide. So we'll have pathways going everywhere. We already do have the lift into the pool and DDA toilets.
Thank you, Councillor Hull. That was relevant, yes. So, Councillor Pryor.
Has this been through finance and audit? And what did they say?
Through the Chair, no. It's been reviewed through the Infrastructure and Strategy Committee.
Yeah, it didn't need a Section 48 either because of the amount it was under, the $4
million. Just another question. And in terms of resourcing, The document's really brief about resourcing. It just says we'll carry this out within existing resources. Is that accurate? I mean, we're confident we can squeeze this into our existing resources, and we're not going to, if Mitchell Park or something comes up, we're not going to struggle?
Through the chair, the stage one will be handled through the land and property team, and it will the value of work is fairly low level, so it will be one of our capital works projects, which our officer he already handles about 30 projects. He believes he can undertake this one without much issue.
And Deputy Mayor, will we get a new set of councillors' photos with this upgrade?
Okay, can I ask Councillor Villescu to close, please?
Thank you, Your Worship. Look, I do recognise, there are better ways for us to do other long-term projects and stage projects. We do have this opportunity to get it right with this one, to have the money. I have seen other things come to council again and again, and it's not a satisfactory outcome. Ultimately, we do want to have the finished facility. These are the steps to get there, and I think that this is the best way to do it. This will, as I said, the important things to consider are that if we run a risk of not losing patronage, if we don't get to that end point, but also we have the risk of our community and the general community missing out on this facility and the extra things it will offer. And once again, it's an update, it's an upgrade, it's not a master plan, it's not a major new project, it's just providing the extra things that that the community wants, and also bringing it from the 1970s to 2018 and beyond.
Thank you. All those in favour? Thank you. All those against? It's carried. Moving on to the next item, the LGA Ordinary General Meeting 2018. Just before we do go forward on this one, I would like to make a suggestion that the actual meeting is after the time of the leave for the Mayor. So I would suggest that perhaps the motion for the person attending, the voting delegate and the proxy delegate, be reverted back to read as the Mayor or sitting member... acting mayor, and to the proxy delegate for the meeting be deputy mayor. Do I have someone to move this motion? Councillor Telfer, seconded?
Yes.
By? Who would like to second the motion? Councillor Pryor? Councillor Telfer, you want to talk to it, please?
That's exactly what I planned.
Questions? Okay, Councillor Westwood, Hull, and then Pryor and Villescu.
As my name is in the record there, as having been a proxy, I should vacate at some time, I would think. So how are we going to work that? I'd like to have advice.
It's already fixed by the motion up there.
Sorry?
That is already fixed by the motion that's been put. Sorry. Councillor Pryor, do you want to talk? We're going to questions, so.
Yeah, my question is one of clarity about the, we seem to be specifying the same person at the moment for the meeting. Is the mayor or acting mayor being yourself and the proxy being the deputy mayor, which is also yourself? So,
no, I'll clarify that. I am not acting mayor. I am deputy mayor, fulfilling the chair while the mayor is on leave. once we know what happens towards the end of his leave, we then have to vote for an acting mayor if he does not return. Otherwise, the mayor returns. So that is why it's read that way.
Okay, well, that makes perfect sense then, thanks.
Question order. Councillor Hull, you were next, and then Councillor Valesky.
I just like to know if the LGA is still operating. Are they still functioning unit? Or, like, I did hear it on Today Tonight last night that it was still around, but you know, how's it going?
Okay, well, we'll move on. We'll take that as a rhetorical question. Councillor Valesky, you had a question?
I've got a question, and I'm just wondering if I can add another potential motion to the for consideration by the LGA.
We can, but we can also do it at our following meeting as well. They just have to be adopted by council before the 2nd of March, so we can, if you want a bit more time to consider it.
I just want to put something up now if I can, but if it's too complicated, the members have too many questions, I'm happy to bring it back. But let's try now, because it is pretty straightforward.
With agreement of the mover and seconder, then yeah, we can add it in.
Yeah. Can I ask?
You can explain it so as the mover and seconder understands.
So the motion would read pretty much that the ordinary general meeting requests the local government association to investigate the impact and risk to council of potential overseas recycling import restrictions. It's a very good question from my co-councillor on this at the end of this agenda. And I think it's the answer given relates to our current contract, but I think our state body and possibly national body needs to look into the long-term impacts, because there's already some issues, and even though we may be shielded, our recycling may end up in a pile somewhere. So let's bring it to the attention of our peak body.
Thank you, Councillor Valesky, and it is something that the ALGA is also making lots of comments about at the moment as well. Will the mover and seconder take that?
Waiting for it. If Councillor Valesky can.
You. Overseas recycling import restrictions? Generally, because it's a bit broader, just in case there's others that follow suit.
So we'll just read that out, that the ordinary general meeting requests the local government association to investigate the impact and risk to councils of potential recycling overseas import restrictions.
The words recycling and overseas.
Overseas recycling import restrictions, yes. All right, so can I ask the mover and the seconder what...
Yes, I'll accept that.
Yes, I'm happy with that too.
Question, Councillor Hull?
If this council wanted to move a motion to the effect that we believe that candidates for local government members of any description who seek to be candidates in state and federal elections should take leave of absence without pay during... when they actually declare themselves as candidates. So would that be in order to move that at this point?
That would be... that is in train and has already been moved at, we believe, the LGA.
So through the chair, there's currently a bill in place that is has been drafted. It hasn't been enacted or come into effect for these elections, unfortunately, but there are certainly motions in place. What I would recommend is that we work with members just to seek the details of that. I'm not sure whether the allowance requirement is in the draft bill or not, so we can take that on notice and come back to members. As I said previously, we do have time to consider further motions to be added to the meeting. We've got until the 2nd of March for them to be in, so we've got time to work through that and come back.
Okay, if I can leave that as a work in progress for the administration,
that's noted.
But also indicate to our representative or proxy that it's our intentions to support such a legislative change via the LGA, so that they actually have a directive from us about that.
Yep, and we will come back to that issue again at the next council meeting. Thank you. We're just waiting for the wording to be finalised. Anyone talking against the motion? Right, so I'll put the motion. All those in favour? That's carried unanimously. On page 73, participation in building upgrade of finance. Do I have anyone to move the motion? Councillor Crossland, seconder? Anyone to second the motion? Councillor Westwood, Councillor Crossland, do you wish to talk to the motion?
Just a quick question first, if I may, Deputy Mayor, just probably to the CEO. Mr. Scorder, I think this is a great idea, which we'll speak to in a minute. The one thing I'd just like to know, is there a process for notifying members of when somebody has taken up this scheme and it's been funded? Because I'm not sure where we'd see that, maybe in the business plan, but it would be nice to just have confirmation that we would get to know if anyone was taking up this funding.
Through Your Worship, we haven't put that into the plan, but I can commit that we will let every elected member know of any business that takes this up if it gets through, because it is a very, very exciting initiative, giving upgrade finance very, very cheap to businesses to get the solar power and also the batteries in their business. But yes, we haven't built it in, but we'll commit to doing that.
Thank you. If I could just speak to it, unless anybody else has any other questions. Look, I've had a good look at this. It seems to be a great proactive initiative by staff, and I welcome all these types of initiatives. It seems to be a win-win because we can improve the possibility of getting better buildings for our tenants and businesses, and for residents, hopefully it will also improve business in the city, both with employment and maybe the look of buildings. Seems to be extremely low risk to council, and I would ask members to really consider it as doing something proactive in our council. We've looked at other things that haven't been successful, but look, if this one gets off the ground, I believe that it will make a positive change.
Councillor Westwood.
Yes, I think it's a very good move. It's very good to see council use its influence and mass for the benefit of the people in this way. A lot of people would, I'm sure, benefit greatly by having better finance available to them through this plan. It's great. Thank you.
Anyone speaking against? Question from Councillor Hull? No, sorry, Councillor Gard, I apologise.
Not sure who would offend the most.
I didn't realise I looked that young, anyway. I just was interested to ask how disputes might be settled in the event of disputes. I know that it's clearly stated that there's no liability to council. Are we across as yet how a dispute might be managed? When does the financier step in? And if it's ongoing, how is it settled? Obviously, there's the potential for it to go to legal level. And also, what's the position as far as our staff capacities are concerned? What, how many full-time equivalents would be involved to administer that? But in asking those questions, I'm certainly in favour of the proposition.
Mr. Methford?
Through the chair, so to answer your first question, where there's disputes, the financier would obviously have a key role to play, and council lesser so. Councillor Crossland summed it up very well. It is very low risk to council, so that's a big positive on many levels because it enables us to facilitate lower finance for organisations who are looking at doing this. In regards to the resourcing side of things, we believe that we'll be able to accommodate the administrative side of things. It's predominantly going to impact on our finance team more than anything. There is impacts on other teams, and we believe we'll be able to cover that adequately.
Councillor Pryor.
Just to continue with my theme for the evening, are we exposed to any risk by taking part in this program?
Through your worship, when we started into discussions with the organisation that's running this, they're doing this in New South Wales, and there did appear to be some risk to council of actually, you know, helping businesses to get financing if they were defaulted. And I think that goes back to Councillor Gard's question as well. The way that it's running is that a lot of the risk will be reside with the business and through to their funds. Owner, if you like, the business, the credit company that's actually providing with the funds. So the risk is minimal to council, and in New South Wales, where they're doing it quite extensively, they haven't had a default. In fact, you know, businesses are actually on selling, but they can on sell their, of course, their solar with their buildings, and it's been a bonus to the business. So risk was a number one concern when we talked to them, and we've been reassured or assured that that's minimal.
Is anyone talking against? Then I'll put the motion. All those in favour? All those against? The motion is carried. Moving on to page 101, the alternatives to glyphosate in playgrounds. Do I have a mover? Councillor Velescu? A seconder? Councillor Crossland? Councillor Velescu, do you wish to talk to the motion?
Yes, thank you, Your Worship. Previous questions on notice indicated the use of glyphosate and the availability throughout the community, and it is something that's readily used and readily available. Also, it is currently the most effective option that we have. However, I commend councils to support this motion because we do actually explain why we use it for weed control, and also it does look at an option where we can actually spend a little bit of money in those high use areas and actually use an alternative around playgrounds to control the weeds. If we had enough money, we could get staff going up and down the street with steamers, but that's not a good use of council expenses, even if it does create employment. I think this option, we're looking at alternatives in the more, I guess, sensitive sites, so I commend council to support this.
Councillor Crossland?
No, just to echo what Councillor Velescu said.
Anyone speaking against? Councillor Telfer.
I would like to quote page 109, which talks about saturated steam method. The city of Swan, and it finds that you have to use the steam, it c- kills the leaves. It does not kill the stems or the roots. It has to be done every 6 weeks. If you get near turf, you kill the lawn. I just don't think expecting to increase labour to do this is appropriate. Most of our playgrounds have bark under them, bark areas, which generally don't have weeds in them. I've rarely seen weeds in bark areas. Nearby those bark areas, I believe it would be a better use of council staff's time and resources to just program them to spray at 7 a.m. in the morning when they start work and then go on to other areas than to go into using this method, because it doesn't kill the roots. You're back again as soon as the leaves come up.
Someone speaking for the motion? Councillor Westwood.
I'm sorry, I do have to just counteract a bit of that, that glyphosate, I think it takes about 6 hours to be not so active, so I think 7 o'clock in the morning wouldn't even be sufficient, even though I understand what you're saying and what's been said. So I do support the motion, and I think it's, even though this is interesting to see that passage that was quoted, I think it is certainly worth trying, and who knows, we may be the leader in the nation and develop something on top of the technology that we're about to use. Thank you.
Councillor Pryor, are you speaking against, or
absolutely,
are you a question? Okay.
Absolutely. I don't think that, with all respect to everybody around the horseshoe, I don't think we understand very well about the nature of this carcinogen. I think we need to have a bit more of a look at what being a type 2A carcinogen actually means, and what other things are on that list. Because if we go down this rabbit hole, we're going to be banning some other things that we don't want to ban, okay? Or trying to work around these other things that we don't want to work around. So I think we should have a bit more discussion about this before we go this direction, is my short version.
Thank you. Someone speaking for? A question from Councillor Gard.
I'm very interested to know, Your Worship, whether we have an active process within Council to research poisons, etc., or anything of this nature. Whether we benchmark anywhere, for example, and that is beyond Australia's borders necessarily to do it properly. I get the sense that this is an area that is developing as big cities become denser. It becomes a bigger issue. And alluding to that which Councillor Westwood had to say, the life of the danger of these applicants are, or applications are, is quite substantial, and so I really am a little bit in the camp of councillors Pryor and Westwood, in that it's probably not good enough to just rest on our laurels and not come up with something better still than the proposition put today. But I put that question first and foremost. Are we on the front foot as far as research is concerned for these things?
I'll ask Mr. Lyons to answer that.
Through the chair, councillor, this is an approved herbicide from the, as you've seen in the report, the APVMA, who approves these sorts of things. It's routinely used by the majority of councils around Australia. I personally am completely satisfied with the way that my staff use it. They're trained and they use it safely. We already use this early in the morning. We do this at playgrounds before children or anyone routinely gets to those sites, and we do that deliberately. The touch time is not the sort of 6 hours we're talking about. It is quite safe quite soon after its application. So I'm very happy with its use and the way we are using it and the way we have selected it. I think the key thing here that members may wish to consider is the perception around its use. This report only covers the use of the herbicide at playgrounds. It doesn't talk about other areas. Playgrounds are areas that children frequent and are often there. So it's more a community perception about the danger rather than any definitive evidence that it is dangerous.
Councillor Gard, are you talking for it? Or?
I just wanted to reply and ask a further question to that.
Yes, I'll allow it.
In so saying, through the chair, Mr. Lyons, are you therefore happy enough with the glyphosate situation that you would not consider it necessary to research alternatives, albeit were we to vote tonight in the affirmative, we could probably rest fairly happily that we are on a reasonable thing. But my question really is, are we satisfied enough not to research?
So through the chair, I'll respond to that by saying I'm very happy with our current solution of a herbicide. If we wanted to select a herbicide-free solution, I'm happy with the steam solution, and I don't think we need to look beyond those two options.
Did you want to speak any further, Councillor Gard? Are you speaking for or against?
No, I won't speak for or against at this point, please.
Thank you.
Your Worship.
Question from Councillor Pfeiffer.
Thank you, Your Worship. Look, I just want to clarify this. Okay, the way that the motion's worded at the moment, if this sees a no vote, does that therefore mean that A, we're not buying the steam weeding machine, but B, we're not using glypho anymore?
Good question. Yes.
Members, through the chair, if the motion fails, we would continue on with normal practice in any event, because there wouldn't be a resolution to stop using the current one, so you'd have to move something in along those lines to actually change the current practice.
So therefore point one's kind of pointless anyway if it's an affirmative vote, because gotcha. Okay.
I'll ask Councillor Valescu to close the debate.
Thank you. Look, I do take Councillor Pryor's point on the level 2 carcinogens, because it is, I guess, a very, very careful assessment that it might be an issue, and there's many other things on there, including red meat. However, Mr. Lyons did talk about the perception, and I think that this is something the community has brought to me. And it's been brought to me a few times, and I think by using something that is chemical-free in those sensitive spots basically addresses some of the concerns the community may have. If I can, Your Worship, I'm happy to move the first two parts of the motion separately to the last, because I do think if the majority of people don't wish us to use this method, I still think it is important to explain why weed control methods are taken and having that fact sheet. So if I can do that, Your Worship, I would like to.
Do we have the leave of the meeting to split it into two motions? So the seconder has said yes to splitting it into two motions, so we would have point one and two as the first motion we would consider. Do we have leave of the meeting to do that? I'm seeing nodding heads, yes. Okay, so we're looking at the first motion, which is point one and two. All those in favour? Those against? That is carried. Division? So I can have all those in favour stand up, please. Okay, so we have Councillors Pfeiffer, Telfer, Pryor, Westwood, Valescu, Appleby, Guard and Crossland and all states and Byrum. Okay, those against are Councillor Hull. We'll do the second part of this motion and then I'll talk about the voting that just I saw a question on the floor. Okay, so the second motion is point three, still being moved by Councillor Velescu and seconded by Councillor Crossland. All those in favour? It's closed. All those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried. It's closed. The matter has been finalised. The matter has been finalised, Councillor Westwood. Sorry, you called division? Yes, all those in favour, please stand. So that was Councillors Pfeiffer, Hull, Velescu, Guard, Crossland and Byrum. Those against are Councillors Telfer, Pryor, can you stay there for a minute, please? Pryor, Westwood and Appleby. Thank you. And I just need to clear up, because I know that people are questioning about the voting, I will just explain a deliberative vote to clear it up for people. So a mayor does not of council does not have a deliberative vote, but a casting vote when there is a drawn vote. However, the deputy mayor in the position of chairing a meeting still has a deliberative vote, and that is taken as the affirmative unless I say otherwise, that I am in the negative. So that was seen in the minutes from the previous meeting, that they automatically will put it down as an affirmative from me unless I say otherwise. When we have a division, then I have to state what that is in the division. I will allow any questions on that if I haven't made that clear. Councillor Westwood, is it on the previous motion?
It's a question to follow up. When are we going to consider the allocation of that $25,000?
Yes, it's under the budget process. Thank you.
The point is we haven't made a decision. We're just going to consider it. I've tried to tell that to the mover, but...
At page 114, Corporate Risk Quarterly Report, October to December 2017. Okay. The next three items are all reports. We can do them en bloc if someone so moves.
Move that way.
Thank you, Councillor Pfeiffer. Have I got a seconder? Councillor Westwood? Do you wish to talk to those motions, Councillor Pfeiffer? Councillor Westwood, no. Anyone speaking against the motions? All right. All those in favour? Against? No, that's affirmative. That's moving on to motions with notice. We actually get here tonight. So, looking at page 137, on groundwater contamination from Councillor Hull.
Thank you, Madam Deputy Mayor.
Can we just get a seconder to the motion, Councillor Pryor? Thank you. Councillor Hull, you wish to talk to the motion?
Yes, I do. As you'll see, members, in the report, this motion was provoked after the advice sent from the EPA. We get these regularly about groundwater contamination in our city. And I think it's only fair that we have a good understanding of what we're dealing with. I think I'll read out the comments so it just prompts my memory about what the issues are. The motion seeks to address questions asked by a number of city residents, information that is not readily available from the EPA. Unfortunately, the subject of groundwater contamination is not a subject that is seen and easily understood. It is not flowing down our gutters. It is underground and out of our mind. It is my view that thinking is redirected to property values and conversations lead to do not go there. We need to better understand the subject and just leaving it to the EPA is folly. But the groundwater prohibition advice email dated the 18th of 12/17 from Mr. Mifsud, he also attached the amended motion. Now, I referred to that before. That's what provoked this motion. Now, Madam Deputy Mayor, we as a council pride ourselves on, in fact, one of the columns of our whole corporate plan is environment. It used to be called biophilia. And wouldn't you think that we'd actually monitor our environment? Now, sure, we've got the EPA, but and they give us advice regularly, but we haven't, as a city, mapped our city to see where the actual problems are, what the concentration is, what are the consequences, and the direction of flow and the rate of spread. We should be keeping an eye on that. If it was flowing down our gutters and down our streets, we would be doing that. We would be doing that because it would be in the public interest. This is in the public interest. And as for the property value debate, well, I'm sorry, what comes first? Concerns about property values or public health? Or, for that matter, managing it? By pretending it's not there is not really a responsible way of dealing with it. Now, this groundwater contamination goes back quite a number of years. It's extensive along South Road. It's at other places, Glengowrie, Marion itself as a suburb, and we don't fully understand it. I want to get a report so we fully understand it. If we have to call upon the EPA to help us get this advice, we should, and then map this. It seems to me that we're mapping, if I can just close very quickly, we're mapping heat generation in our city, and that's up on the wall in the elected members' room. Why wouldn't we be mapping this? It's just as much an issue for our community, and it would help us come up with solutions of understanding it. Like, for example, very quickly, will this groundwater contamination enter our wetland at Oaklands Park, Oaklands Wetland? Because if it did, it would contaminate a vital resource, and we need to know that as well. It's heading in that direction, by the way, but we need to understand this better, and that's the intent of the report, Madam Deputy Mayor.
Councillor Pryor.
Yeah, look, just very quickly, Councillor Hull's bang on here. He's exactly right. We need to understand this. We need to know about this and we need to understand it. And if we don't understand it, we need to keep asking questions until we understand it. It's pretty important. Thank you.
Anyone talking against a question? Councillor
Can Pulsky? We actually clarify the concerns that the Councillor has? Because I think it's appropriate to ask the questions, but I think some of those scenarios need to be ruled out, in or out, sooner rather than later, as far as the position of the aquifer, things like that. So, in particular, you know, we do have the wetlands. I don't think that'd be an issue. And I guess, you know, I'd want to know whether that is an issue sooner rather than later. And if it's an issue that's going to happen in 30 years based on the speed of the plume, I want us to know that. And we can plan for it, or if it's not going to be an issue at all, or if it is going to be an issue sooner. But I think for us to raise those concerns, I think the sooner we investigate them, the better, because we don't want to create unnecessary alarm in the community, but we also don't want to have a situation where we are overlooking a potential risk.
Mr. Mifsud, could you answer that one?
Through the Chair, should Council support this motion, then we can certainly seek that clarity from the EPA, Councillor. Absolutely.
Anyone speaking against? Any further questions? No. I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Light Square Project, Councillor Telfar.
I'll so move.
Someone to second? Councillor Pryor. Thank you, Councillor Telfar.
The reason that I'm moving this is merely timing. If this project, which you did as a council unanimously support last year, actually came up to start its work of design on the 1st of July, by the time the piping would be put in, the community group would be out planting in November, December, and the roses would die. So all we're trying to do, and I didn't actually in my original motion put the plantings happening this year, but all we're trying to do is bring it forward so that we can plant in June, July at a proper time. And that's what this is all about.
Councillor Pryor?
Yeah, this one's completely logical, as Councillor Telfer says, and we should definitely go ahead with this.
Anyone speaking against the motion? Then I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Anyone against? No, that looks like that's unanimous. Thank you. Moving on to new properties application for reticulation. That's from Councillor Velescu. So, Councillor Velescu, you're moving. Anyone seconding? Councillor Gard. Thank you, Councillor Velescu.
Thank you, Worship. Basically, this is a situation where a home is built with wires, but because the developer hasn't told Telstra it exists in a subdivision, they cannot access internet services. And I'll read the email that I received from a member. Hello, my name is, and I'm my partner and I recently purchased our first piece of land in March 2006 in two lots. We've moved in, and after a prolonged process of completing our first home build, we have found we have no telecommunication available to us. The builder has fulfilled the end of the contract, wiring the house and providing trenching and the conduit to the stobie pole, but Telstra refuses to service us because we don't exist to them, because the original developer who subdivided did not admit an AFR. This is federal policy which is required by a developer and not a homeowner. When I called the council, they weren't aware of it, and it's federal policy, and they couldn't help. Apparently, it's not a requirement of South Australian Land Division Act to actually notify Telstra or submit this, yet Telstra won't provide me with any service until it is done, which is done by a developer for a fee, which it will not do because it's not in the Act. So basically, I'm in a position where I can't even lodge an AFR myself because I don't meet the requirements of being a developer. I'm not subdividing one in two or building two or more properties. I don't think I should be responsible for paying the developer fees. I'm just a homeowner, not a developer. Telstra won't do anything until they have the AFR in South Australia. The developer is not required to do the FAR. I think it's a more a duty of care. So I'm stuck in a deadlock and I can't get any services at my address. So that kind of explains it. There's a little bit more onto that. He has been referred to his federal member of parliament. They are looking into it. However, he said he has had the runaround from Telstra, and to make matters worse, he's telling me that NBN was available in his area, but there's a hold on any further new developments because he's now forced to go through Telstra. So he's 20 minutes from the CBD and can't actually get a phone line, let alone a fixed internet connection. I cannot believe it's so unfair and unreasonable. I need my internet for work in ITCs, and I want the laws to be changed so this never, in capitals, happens to anyone again, and developers are held accountable for things that supposedly Telstra can enforce but the council and the government can't. Question mark. Enough said.
Thank you, Councillor Velescu. Councillor Gard, you wish to speak to the motion?
Thank you, Your Worship. Yes, just very briefly, it's hard to believe that we're in the 21st century when you think about the necessities such as this. So I fully support the motion.
Anyone speaking against the motion? Question from Councillor Hull.
I direct this to the CEO. Is this the right venue for this? Are we the telecommunication ombudsman? Are we federal representatives? Is this a federal matter? Is there a better place for this to be dealt with?
Through you, Worship, a difficult question to answer. I can see the point, but I can also see and hear the frustration of the resident, and I think bringing this to the Minister's attention, of which he would be aware, is quite pertinent to this chamber.
Secondary question. Would there be a point four, where we could actually, as a council, bring this to the attention of the telecommunication ombudsman for him or her to take an interest in?
That sounds like an excellent idea, if the mover of the motion would consider that as a point four.
I think it's great if it's appropriate, but I think the Ombudsman looks at specific cases which are identified, and without actually speaking to the resident about putting in a case on their behalf. So I'm not sure how we would progress it. So I'm happy to take some advice on how we may progress it, but I think we couldn't actually raise a complaint on their behalf, and especially it is being managed by the local federal member as well. So, yeah. To clarify, the issue is state legislation that it needs to be changed, because it is in the legislation in New South Wales, apparently.
Ms Dixon?
Through the Chair, as the motion states, the advice to members is best to advocate for legislation change through the relevant ministers.
Yeah. I might go back to Councillor Hull and ask if that answers your question on that.
Well, I might have to move an amendment, and that is that we actually draw the Telecommunication Ombudsman's attention to this matter and ask for that department to act accordingly.
I'm happy to consult the resident and see if they wish to pursue that, and council's willing to, I think, get them to do it, but I don't think...
This is now outside that resident's hands. Like, the resident, we don't even know who the resident is, and nor should we. This is a position by the council, so I'm not sure why we're going to go back and ask the resident.
So, question to staff, is it something that we, not doing it just on behalf of that resident, but bringing that particular matter to the Ombudsman, is that something we can do?
Through the Chair, Manager Governments may know more, but to seek the widespread changes Council is trying to achieve, you're best to lobby and advocate to the Minister for legislative change. So that's the advice we're providing.
Your Worship, I could maybe if we write something that the Telecommunication Ombudsman is also advised of the nature of the type of issue that is occurring because of this.
So you're seeking to add that into point one, Councillor Velescu, that we write the relevant Minister, Shadow Minister and Ombudsman?
No, that would be another point. That would just bring the type of issue arising to their attention.
Okay.
I think the problem is with the builder, but the temporary workaround may be a telecommunication ombudsman issue.
Councillor Velescu. For point four.
I think
it's legislation.
they could pick up both angles, the legislative change request and also the fact that this developer hasn't done the right thing by the purchaser.
Councillor Velescu, is that wording what you see there and taking on those points?
Type of issue to the Minister's attention as opposed to this matter, because that may be talking about the exact situation, which I don't know if the resident wants identified, just out of caution.
Okay, anyone talking against the motion? Right then, I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried. Moving on to page 151, allowance on leave of absence, Councillor Hull. And
question.
Can I have a seconder? Or do you want questions first?
A question.
Yes.
In the report, Madam Mayor, there's a response from the Mayor, but he indicates that it's only for a month, which is a fraction of the actual leave and a ratepayer's funds involved. Is that the case? It's just for a month? When really, in real terms, it's 3 months or more?
Through the Chair, yes. Mayor Hannah has indicated that he would like it to apply from when the writs are issued on the 17th of February.
Right. And is it true in the Mayor's communication that he's reflected on elected members by referring to them as making mischief?
Through the Chair, I don't think we can really comment on what Mayor Hannah's intent is around that.
We'll move on. Thank
Madam
you.
Madam Mayor, given those circumstances, making mischief on behalf of ratepayers is a passion of mine. I make an art form of it, and it's game on, and I'll move the motion, and I'll speak to the motion accordingly.
Do I have anyone to second the motion? So I'll just verify there is no seconder, so the motion lapses for want of a seconder. Right, moving on to page 155, parking in local streets survey by Councillor Velescu. Yes, these are questions, so we'll take them as read. So there was two questions there tonight. So are there any motions without notice or questions without notice? No, we move on. All right, so I therefore declare this meeting is closed as at 2020. Thank you, everybody.